time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for February 6th. We're already into the month of February 2021, and it's still not better than 2020. Well, actually, 2020 was pretty bad. It has potential. We've got a few more months to maybe start going in the right direction. But holidays day, real quick, eat ice cream day for breakfast day. I'm sorry. Eat ice cream for breakfast. International Frozen Yogurt Day. Now, if you don't like ice cream, maybe you like frozen yogurt. Lame Duck Day and National Chopsticks Day. Birthdays today, former WWE superstar and tag team member Connor of the Ascension is 41 today. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzerias, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. We always can use definitely some volunteers. But welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man. I am joined by the Gang of Four, the best four guys to ever do a professional wrestling talk show with, and that would be starting with DC Dan Cole. Good morning, DC.
Good morning.
Is it warmer down in North Carolina today?
I mean, relatively speaking, yes, but man, come on. Knock it off. Keep it up there.
Well, we had 38 degrees today. I think it was a high, so I'm just going to throw that out there. We're also joined by the artiste, Rob Sanderson. Rob, how are you doing today?
It's been quite the morning. I'm good. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. And thank you. Of course, Danger Boy. Can't do the show without Danger Boy. Danger, how's it going today?
It's going well. Enjoying my Saturday morning and coming off a good week of wrestling.
Yes, and you've got dogs playing cards in the background. You can't go wrong when you got a picture of dogs playing cards, man. and last but not least, our man, it's Furby, the beefcake of the Pain Clinic, as I call him. Furbs, how's it going, bro?
It's going good. Your men's Royal Rumble winner is here.
And interesting topic to start the show with. We are going to talk a little bit about WWE's Royal Rumble. You know, the first cog in the machine that becomes WrestleMania for WWE. And we got that last weekend, you know, once again, in front of no crowd. I want to say a couple things about the matches that weren't the Royal Rumble. And I was very impressed with I really, really enjoyed Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. And it's weird that I say that I like, you know, a Roman's Reigns match, but I did. And it was good. I mean, I enjoyed actually the regular matches before the Rumbles. So you guys have any thoughts on the those matches that were on before?
I too really like the Reigns Owens match, minus Owens not wanting to win the match. Because he could have just put the forklift on top of Reigns to win. But I also, that match was kind of ruined for me because Paul Heyman doesn't know how to use handcuffs.
Yeah, or doesn't know how to get them off, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, that botched ending. And I got to go with Danger Boy. As soon as I saw him operating that forklift, I'm like, all right, throwback to the empty arena match.
Yeah, Mick Foley
Rock
and the Rock.
Mankind.
Yeah.
Not so much, but yeah, that botched finish. Come on, roll with it. Let the ref count to 10. Let Owens take the title. Have him drop it back Friday. But they just look terrible there.
Yeah,
it ruined a pretty solid match.
There's nothing weirder than the referee gets to six and then seven and then realizes
just stops.
Yeah, he realizes the dude is not going to be. You know, I was thinking probably Roman Reigns could have crouched in a standing position where he was. I mean, he might have been able to do that. He wasn't trying, that's for sure. But how'd you think about it, Mr. Artiste?
I really liked that match. I mean, I agree that it got super awkward. With the handcuffs and all of that. But obviously there was a lot to that match. And I think I mentioned during the match as well that I really, it was refreshing to me to like actually see Tropicana Field in the background when they were back by the practice ring and stuff. Like I wish they would have just done like a domino effect. And while they were fighting up the Thunderdome, just torn the whole thing down so we could actually see the stadium. And I don't know, I'm like kind of an arena and stadium nerd. So I like seeing that stuff as opposed to just video screens, but the match itself was awesome. I think it further established Roman and made Owens look good. And I think, I mean, generally speaking, the Rumble, for somebody that's hated on WWE a lot, I don't love all of the results necessarily, but I thought it was a pretty strong pay-per-view, all things considered.
Yeah, and listen, I know we all were happy that McIntyre beat Goldberg, and we were all scared about that one. But Ferb, what did you think about the Roman Reigns Kevin Owens match there?
It, like everybody else said, it was a very awkward finish. I think the best part about it is really everybody looked strong. Owens looked great. It looked like he was a credible champion. You thought he was going to win it. And then it was just the awkward ending kind of ruined it a little bit because it was close to being as perfect of a last man standing match as possible until the end. The biggest thing is that they kind of froze and just panicked and then they just didn't know what to do. So, but other than that, I mean, the match was great. I'm glad that McIntyre beat Goldberg as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
don't mention the golf cart spot to Kenny Omega.
Yeah, or to anybody who has ever taken one before. I will say, we got on the pre-show. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler took the titles from Asuka and Charlotte, which I thought was going to lead to something else. Never really did. Sasha Banks defeated Carmella after Carmella did a face plant into the ground, did a suicide dive right into her face. It didn't hurt anything apparently, but I thought that was very
just her pride,
very uncomfortable. But let's talk about the Women's Royal Rumble. Okay, Bianca Belair coming in number three, winning the whole thing after eliminating Rhea Ripley in the end. It was super exciting. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. They did use a lot of other people from NXT this time, not the same people they used last year. And it was a very fun. They had some fun moments. I love twice we saw this during the night, the men's and the women's, where both two people slid underneath the bottom rope and held on and kind of like, regaled in their glory there for a second, hanging over the edge of the ring. And I thought that was pretty cool. I think it was Rhea Ripley and I can't remember who else it was. Was it Bianca Belair? Both slid. Like kind of held themselves by the second rope there, dangling over the edge. I thought that was pretty cool. I know
no, it was a. It
you
was
mean
a
when Bianca actually touched the floor?
What was? Yeah. What was that?
When Bianca actually was eliminated but wasn't?
Yeah, I it looked like I couldn't tell. Okay, I wasn't. I was wondering what was going on. Well, you know, I mean,
the NFL lets it stand. It's inconclusive.
Yes. Well, I will say one thing: you can fall out and land on your back, but as long as your feet don't touch, obviously you're still good. You know. saw some weirdness. Well, you guys enjoy the women's match?
Yeah, I thought for the most part it was a pretty solid rumble. I think my only gripe is I felt like I saw the same spots being repeated quite extensively. And not to call out the winner, Bianca Belair, but I feel like she did the same exact leg sweep to Rhea Ripley on the outside like three or four times. And it was the slowest leg sweep I have ever seen pulled off.
How about you, Rob?
Overall, I thought the match was pretty good. I would say for both the women's and especially the men's, like the lack of NXT was kind of surprising. Obviously, Bianca wins it. I think I was one of many people that kind of saw that coming, and good to establish another star there. It seems like certainly the locker room was really happy with it, but the match itself was pretty good. I don't, there weren't like too many incredible surprises. Nice to see Victoria. But I mean, an enjoyable match.
Well, you danger.
Yeah. I like the outcome. I like that they threw the teaser in there that we were all going to hit ourselves with, or hit the ending with Charlotte being one of the last three, but then they had the two others beat up. When it got done the last two, we couldn't lose with who the winner was. And I'm glad they decided that they were going to use this finally to build up a new talent and push someone into a spot they weren't previously. And then Rhea Ripley comes up, and this is apparently her indoctrination into the main roster, and she looks strong as anybody. So yeah. It was very nice to see.
I will say one thing, interviewing Bianca Belair right after the match, that you get to see her real emotion over, getting, it's basically getting the nod from the guys who run the company saying, you're worth this, you're going to be in the main event. And I thought it was pretty cool. Ferbs, what'd you think?
Yeah, I was impressed. I thought there was a lot of people who were able to showcase their talent. A few of the surprises obviously were real nice with Victoria. They had the funny spot with the 24/7 championship that could have been done without. But I think one of the women that really, furthered a character or showed that, she's at least has a lot of entertainment value is Billie Kay. I mean, she was great. I thought she was hilarious with the Billie and Jilly thing. She might not be the most credible wrestler, but she definitely brings the entertainment value. So I like that part of the match too.
I was almost going to say there was a lot of old tag teams that met in both Rumbles. They had a moment where a lot of prior tag teams kind of met up, like Daniel Bryan and Kane, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But a couple of the like for instance Billie Kay and what's her name?
Peyton Royce.
Peyton Royce. But Billie Kay is, I think, she's finding her way in to staying on SmackDown every week by just the goofy stuff she does, the goofiness. And, I kind of dig her. So, but there was, a lot of, I thought Victoria was great too. You're definitely right there. She was, it was nice to see her. I know she went to the Hall of Fame, what was it, like 2 years ago? But it's like, I thought she was, she definitely got a chance to do her Widow's Peak a few times. And there definitely was some high points. It was a lot of fun. But, I'm going to take a break because we got a lot to talk about the men's and especially our friends, the New Day, our best friends. We're best friends with the New Day forever and ever and ever. As much as I hated Bootios, I love what they're doing now. So we'll be back right after this. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 12-8. Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, Furby, and Rob Sanderson, the artiste, someplace on the run, as we say. Welcome back to the show. We got to get to talk about the Men's Royal Rumble because the winner of that gets to pick a champion to beat or to wrestle at WrestleMania. It's a very high, high position, very... it's definitely getting a nod, like I said a minute ago, from the guys who run the company. And first of all, we got to talk about New Day. It was great before the Rumble that they actually went back to New Day and interviewed them, and we got to see the Brody Lee gear. Man, that really, I was really impressed by that. That really kind of almost made me a little emotional seeing that because, we love the man so much, and these guys love him as much as we loved him. And, man, it just really touched my heart when I saw that. What did you think, Mr. Artiste?
Sorry, I was dealing with something. I totally missed that. When you go to somebody else.
Oh, okay. Well,
crazy morning, as I mentioned, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, okay, we'll come back to you in a second. What about you, DC?
I thought it was great. At first when I saw it, I'm like, okay, that – I can see like a little of the Bludgeon Brothers pattern. And then, later I'm like, okay, that definitely looks like Brody on the side. And then I'm noticing like all the little details, the Buffalo check print and him, power bombing onto the steel steps. And then like the other details, like the silhouette of him and his kids on there. I mean, credit to the New Day. They've had the best gear since they've been a group, and they're always coming up with new things to do. But this especially, you know, the tribute to Brody, Mr. John Huber, Luke Harper, and then the fact that they're going to autograph and donate, you know, all the money they make off an auction for the gear is just outstanding.
Danger?
Yeah, it's it was really nice to see. I'm really, you know, all the credit in the world to the New Day. Can't say a bad thing about them ever again. Not that we said much bad
stuff about them before.
No, Cash was.
Because he's booty.
Yeah, I'm booty.
Yeah. But at the same time, you also have to give a little credit to WWE because they gave them the platform to have that backstage segment to show off the gear. That's what that segment was about, was showing off that gear. And everybody that was involved in that segment was also a friend of John's. And it was really nice to see. And it's really touching to see that Big E put out that tweet and they're donating the money to Food Link here in Rochester, because John was from Rochester and it played a big part in his life. And it surprised them too. I saw they were on the local news stations talking about it and were really surprised and very thankful. And it's just a really, really nice touching tribute.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I didn't actually recognize it till Big E had gotten in the ring, and I got super excited. I know I texted something in a group chat saying Brody Lee was in the Rumble, and I was like, I had a smile on my face the rest of the time. It was, again, like you guys said, it was touching, and then to find out what they're doing afterwards with donating the gear and then auctioning off the gear and donating the money, it just goes to credit how, you know, what stand-up guys they are, but what kind of stand-up guy John Huber, Brody Lee was for them to go all the way to do that.
See what we're talking about, yeah. Rob?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's one of the biggest things of the week for sure. It deserves all the credit in the world to the New Day. I think, you know, they've always been super likable. And I know we talked a bunch about Big E and how I would have loved to have seen him win the Rumble, but it wasn't going to happen because he's the Intercontinental Champion and everything. But looking forward to the day that he gets a world title. Those three guys, just so much class. And I think I briefly mentioned it before, but like you could tell, maybe it wasn't too well known, but you could tell, like, John would talk about those guys quite a bit. I know when he was in Corpus with me last year, like, those were the guys that were paying the most attention when he got on the ice skating with a team and stuff. And like, John introduced me to Big E when we were waiting for our lost bags in O'Hare once. We got to hang out for a half hour or so, and Big E was just like the nicest guy. You talk about like nice guys in wrestling, all that stuff. And obviously everybody's heard so much about John, those that knew him and so many fans that never got to meet him, but have seen all these tributes and stuff. I guess good people associate with good people. And it makes sense now. If you weren't a big fan of the New Day before, how could you not be now? I mean, just really rooting for all three of those guys so much moving forward. I think it's such a classy thing. And I too, like I first saw the Brody outline on, I think maybe Kofi's tights. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Now I see like the maroon, which looks kind of bludgeony. Then you notice like there was like the gray triangular pattern, kind of like his AEW gear. Yeah. And I did, the last thing I didn't even notice at first was like that red plaid that matched his old NXT gear way back in the day too. So I think it was the most thought out tribute possible. Like the amount of detail in that is just outstanding.
Yeah.
And I think it's so cool. I mean, just seeing what they're doing for Rochester and the little mentions and stuff. If there's anybody to root for in WWE, it's those three guys. So I think it's big props to them.
You know, I would say that it almost was a Brody Lee profile over a Luke Harper profile on the tights too. It looked that definitely was the Dark Order Brody Lee profile. So I thought that, and so I thought, you know, power to the WWE for you know, I mean, and listen, nobody there had anything in it. They all had wonderful things to say about Brody Lee as well. So it's like, you know, they were all on board, which is pretty cool. Cause I mean, you know, they seamstress had to make all that stuff. And that, I think that was just really, really awesome. And it really, you know, and it made me want them all, you know, all to win the Royal Rumble, you know?
And now I think they still only have the first piece of gear on eBay, right? But they're going to do them like one after another for a while. So, I mean, it's going to be so much money raised for that. I've never been a gear collector, but that Big E jacket, I'm curious how much that's going to go for.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely nice. And it's like,
just for record, I think the Kofi jacket, like as of Thursday night, was up to like $4,000. And again, that's the first piece.
Yep. Wow. And there's going to be what, probably six pieces or so total. You count in like jackets or hoodies.
Well, they had their boots too. Weren't their boots? They were coordinated with it as well, I think.
I know Kofi had like matching sneakers and stuff. I don't know if those are going to be auctioned, but.
Well, that was a real surprise, and I think we all were taken back by it too, which was really cool. You know, it makes us think that maybe the WWE isn't all bad. No, I'm kidding, but I mean, that was awesome. But let's talk a little bit about the Rumble now. One thing interesting I thought was Hurricane Helms showing up, and I will say one thing about that is that he tried to choke slam both Big E and Bobby Lashley at the same time, kind of redoing the time when he tried to choke slam Steve Austin, and I can't remember who else it was. Maybe it was The Rock.
Right? Yeah, it was The Rock.
It was The Rock, and I saw him post both those pictures where they were side by side. And, of course, then Big E and Bobby Lashley pick him up and throw him out immediately. But it was an interesting Rumble. I mean, Edge was supposed to come out number two, which kind of screwed me for winning our little
same.
Yeah. But he came out number one.
A lot of people have mentioned that on Twitter and stuff. Kind of BS there, Adam Copeland.
Yeah, because he ran out before Randy Orton could get in. Is that why they called him number one? Is that how it was? Or trying to?
What was the point of that?
I don't know.
I don't want to be bitter about like money lost. I just don't understand. Like, because it sounds so much better. You win from one than two. It's when it's really 1A and 1B.
He was just very impatient.
Maybe they were listening to last week's Pain Clinic when I mentioned that Chris Benoit had won from number two. You know, so I don't know. Who exactly? But that was the only thing that irked me. But then, you know, besides the fact that, you know, surprise wise, what'd you think, Carlito? You know, with the shiny belly and the you know, it looked like he like just lubed up his stomach and from his pecs to his waistline. But it's like it was nice to see him. Don't get me wrong. The last time I saw him was at the Dome Arena.
I remember that night. Yeah.
He was there with Shane Douglas and a bunch of other guys.
It was a very long night.
Yeah. So, but that was
it felt like the surprises were kind of weak, but we kind of expected that. Like the Carlito thing would have been cooler if it wasn't all over the internet before, like that afternoon. I guess I hate spoilers.
Christian was a good surprise.
What's that?
Christian was a good surprise. I didn't know he had been cleared. No one knew he had been cleared, so that was nice.
And now apparently he's cleared for full time.
Yeah, apparently he's going to work a part time schedule, but he's going to be working more than most part timers. So he apparently he's as good to go now.
Well, you know, I mean, that was another surprise. But overall, I thought it was a fun match, though. I mean, like, once they were doing, you know, former tag team guys meeting up, which I mentioned a little while ago. But we get Edge, you know, at the end. Randy Orton looks like he's going to come out of nowhere and win it in the very end. But no, don't be fooled by him acting like he was hurt for 25 minutes or whatever. Edge won it, and it was interesting with Braun Strowman being, I think, the last. Was he? No, who's the last guy to go out? Was it? It was. What was that?
Yeah, Strowman was 30. Rollins was 29.
Yeah. So it was.
I thought Strowman in the 30 spot was pretty weak too. Like I didn't pop for that personally, but. I have loved that Edge came back a year ago. I like seeing him wrestle once in a while and stuff. I don't want to be – it's not the worst-case scenario, but I don't like Edge winning the Rumble. He doesn't need to win the Rumble. He could have a title shot. He doesn't need to take a title. I just don't – I understand the Rumble is not every year going to be like a brand-new star like a McIntyre or whatever, but I just – Edge didn't need that. Again, it's better than if like Bill Goldberg had won it to me, but I've always been an Edge fan, but it's still, I would have rather seen somebody else win it.
Well,
yeah, I think that was my only knock against it too. Nothing against Edge. It was great to see him back last year. I felt like it was a bit heavy handed this year, but yeah, I'm, I'm always been of the opinion that the Rumble is better when it's a catapult for someone or a launching point for someone. And I'm 100% against repeat Rumble winners. I just hate that idea. So, nothing against Edge. I just wasn't a fan with the end.
The thing that really didn't catch, get me going was the fact that with Edge winning, you really don't know where it's going to go from here. Generally, there's, if it is like not a young up and comer, a guy who gets to blossom from his Rumble win, generally there's some sort of story behind who he may be going after, like the year when Randy won it, going after Bray Wyatt, at WrestleMania, things of that nature. But it's kind of like, I guess there's the element of surprise if you want to look at it on the other end of the spectrum too, where Edge could go after any one of the three guys between Baylor, Reigns and McIntyre. But I think the most logical choice we're going to see now is essentially a spear versus spear match that they didn't get last year. But with a little bit better caliber of in Edge over Bill Goldberg.
Danger, what do you think?
I really liked, the match was fun. I had fun with the match. I'm not a big fan. Like, I've never, we've had this argument when Edge went in the Hall of Fame. I'm not a big Edge fan. I'm not a huge fan. It was good to see him back last year. He did, he was doing fine work. I'm fine with that. When it came down to the last, four or five guys, I figured out, it was pretty obvious he was going to win. I'd rather have someone like Bobby Lashley have won it, especially seeing as he did really well in the Rumble. So I knew he wasn't going to win. Daniel Bryan getting thrown out, Daniel Bryan winning would have been nice, not only because I had him, but also because, he hasn't won it before. But it could be worse, but it could be a heck of a lot better.
How about the star that Damian Priest looked like, too, in the Rumble?
I was going to mention, Damian Priest threw out four. That was the most amount anyone threw out was four. Two guys did it, Big E. Yep. And
Big E and Priest.
Yeah, Big E and Priest. And Priest looked good because he did like three of them in a row right off, and it was he did make him look very good. But yeah, that, it's like this was the one where it's like you didn't get a guy to come in and throw out 11 people either. So that's kind of like the Braun Strowman job. He'd come in and throw everybody out. But when you're coming in number 30, there's, who knows who's left, It was DC, you were going to say something. I interrupt you. I apologize.
I was just going to say, talking about like how kind of underwhelming it was with Edge winning, because you look at the three champions and it's like they're going to really have to reach to make me care about any of those matchups. Whereas I don't think they would have had that issue if you get Daniel Bryan winning, because there's been teased tension with Roman Reigns. Same thing with Big E, even though he is the current Intercontinental Champion, you could have easily seen a build up to a program with Reigns. You could pick out a handful of guys who were in that Rumble who had previous storylines that would have just launched into a different tier had they won. And this just feels like a reach to me.
What I'd like to see now is if Edge does not give away his choice too soon, especially with the Elimination Chamber only being a couple weeks away from this week. It's like, 2 weeks away? It's the 21st. So you could still have a bunch of cliffhangers with a mix of brand superstar Elimination Chamber, and then kind of go from there. So, you never know.
On that note, we got to take a break. We'll do this real quick. But I do want to mention that I think most of the time champions do change, belts change hands at pay-per-views, and that potentially could happen at the Elimination Chamber. So maybe he'll hold off to after that. But that I'm just throwing that out there. We're going to go to break. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, Rob Sanderson, the Artiste, and Furby, and you. And welcome back. We just spent the first two segments of the show talking about the Royal Rumble, and we didn't even mention Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny coming out and rapping, and then getting into it with The Miz, causing The Miz some issues, doing a much better corner jump, I think. Then we saw Snoop Dogg, that's for sure. But man, I don't. Well, go ahead.
Bunnies are better than hopping than dogs, I guess.
Okay, maybe we should ask Sasha Banks what she thinks about Bad Bunny's move. But you know, it's really interesting that Snoop, who did, you know, if you didn't see Snoop a couple weeks ago in AEW, you know, doing a dive off the corner and kind of looks like he broke in half when he hit the guy on the ground, but he now shows up in a WWE video game that just came out last week too, and is getting some praise over that too. But Bad Bunny, I don't really know Bad Bunny. I guess I'm not hip enough or what, but I'll give this to him, man. He was into it, man. He definitely came out and he got into it. And this guy apparently is not done with just the Royal Rumble. Danger, you feel have some thoughts on Bad Bunny?
Yeah, it's so we sat there and we all had our thoughts, and we had very similar thoughts when we were watching the performance. Mostly, why is Booker T just standing there doing absolutely nothing?
Booker, that's the name of his song, Booker T, and then it ends with "sucker." You know, I mean, whatever.
But the thing that's happened is the clips that they put out on YouTube of Bad Bunny are tenfold more popular than any other clips they put out this weekend. Bad Bunny so far, they put out, I think, a commemorative T-shirt, a couple T-shirts, and a poster or something. And he is right now the highest earning merchandise seller for WWE this year. He's apparently training at the Performance Center. He gave a really good rub to Damian Priest on Monday night, and it looks like he's going to be wrestling at WrestleMania. And if he's going to do that and bring eyes to the product, I have no problem with it. And I bet he has a better match than Shaq has on March 3rd.
Yeah. I didn't even mention that in the show yet, but we are definitely going to get to it. But what about you, DC? What did you think about Bad Bunny?
Didn't need it. Pass. it's nothing against him. Here I am being the cranky old man of the program, but like I've never just been a fan of the celebrity stuff. No. Just does nothing for me.
Ferbs? Did we lose Furby? Oh, we may have lost him. Well, I'll tell you how I feel.
He was so offended by it.
No, he wasn't. But
way to go, Danger. You upset him with your take.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, it's just that he's not a pro. He doesn't got the body of a pro wrestler, that's for sure. And he...
To be fair, neither do half the pro wrestlers nowadays. So
no, that's true. That's true. But
but then again, consider this. Okay, he's training, so he's probably going to have a WrestleMania match. So right now, here's all we know about WrestleMania. There's going to be a match involving Bianca Belair. There's going to be a match with Edge. And there's going to be a match with Bad Bunny.
And, you know, Bad Bunny will probably be taking on The Miz because they mixed it up, you know, because Miz came out and stomped on his DJ equipment or whatever it was.
Well, quite honestly, it'll probably be a tag team match. It'll probably be Miz and Morrison versus Bad Bunny and Damian Priest.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. Damian Priest, you know, and now we know how Damian Priest is going to, you know, we were wondering how he was going to show up on TV, and it's exactly in Monday Night Raw he came out, you know, and got his debut, and it's like, you know, he's no longer an NXT.
Can't wait to see this match at WrestleMania.
DC sent us this picture. I'll post it on our Facebook page, but... Yeah, I will say, you know, they're trying to mix it up the best they can. You know, one thing I've neglected to mention is I'm guessing why we didn't see some other surprises. As I know that Trish Stratus wanted to be in the women's match, and I know, but she's in Canada. She couldn't get, you can't get across. You can get across, but you have to, I mean, they just changed the rules this past week, but you have to, you have to quarantine yourself for so many days before and after, and it just didn't seem logical. And I'm guessing anybody else who had to fly from outside the United States may have had issues as well. But Bad Bunny.
And then we didn't see Mia Yim and probably Keith Lee because Mia Yim tested positive on Saturday for COVID.
Yeah, and Keith Lee, you know, of course, I didn't know that until we did the show last week that Keith Lee and Mia Yim are together. But that was, I'm curious as to where they're going with all this, but you know, one good thing from the Royal Rumble was Goldberg kind of looked like he's not going to be involved in WrestleMania now at all. The way that he kind of gave kudos to Drew McIntyre at the end of their match, their 2.5 minute long match, 2.5 minutes long.
Did it remind anybody else of like playing one of the old WWE video games and just spamming your finisher button for 2 minutes?
Yeah, and that the funny thing is it wasn't a terrible match for once. You know, Goldberg finally comes out, and it wasn't like there were gaffes and blunders and stuff.
You know? I think you're being very generous, but because, you know, all of Goldberg's matches are graded on a curve. For him, yes, a good match, but a good match overall, I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, who knows? But
he didn't drop Drew on his head. Let's be thankful for that.
No, he didn't. And Drew, I mean, there was a lot of respect between the two. I don't think Goldberg usually was winning a lot of those matches that they wouldn't get the respectful end to. That was, I thought, was pretty good, you know. And Drew now is, still champ. He's going to be a champ going into the Elimination Chamber as well as probably WrestleMania. Who's going to be up against? I don't know. I mean, you know, who are they teasing? I mean, obviously, there were
Sheamus.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, obviously, Sheamus, kind of what he did by, taking him out, just to prove that Sheamus is a wild card or whatever, you know. And we knew that was going to happen eventually. So just because Sheamus was just a terrible heel for such a quite a long time, and then all of a sudden you find out he's best friends with Drew McIntyre. Just didn't make much sense there. But so that being said, the past week of WWE has gone down. Now we can talk a little bit about AEW because we haven't really talked much about AEW, except for you, Danger. You did mention that Shaq is going to be wrestling, which came out this week. Shaq and what's her name, Cargill.
Jade Cargill.
Yeah, Jade Cargill are going to be taking on Cody Rhodes and
Red Velvet.
That's
Red Velvet. My favorite cake, I will say. That's almost kind of like they backed into that, you know. But Shaq did it on the NBA show on TNT, so he's the one who, like, you know, threw out the, you know, the gauntlet, dropped the gauntlet there. And the other guys, did you see Shaq's move? By the way, his spinning,
the Judas effect,
his spinning punch into the glass or whatever, into the interesting. I don't know. That's not enough to make me buy a pay-per-view. Now, on the other hand, I think Kenta showing up at the end of AEW this past week now, and someone on our Facebook page did point out to me that, you know, only the diehards are going to know Kenta. I don't know. I don't agree with that, but Kenta.
Actually, if anyone remembers Kenta that's not a diehard, they're going to remember his failed WWE run. And his pink hair, because that was just terrible. Kenta's a really good wrestler. I'm really excited to see him possibly do stuff with AEW. But he is not the wow factor that's going to pop ratings. That post was 100% correct.
Yeah.
While he may not pop ratings, the bigger picture of now knowing that door to work with New Japan is open, I think will.
Which is super exciting that, you know, it's like, and I may point out, DC sent out a picture this week of the Infinity Gauntlet with three or four wrestling companies on it now, which is pretty cool. New Japan, AEW, Impact Wrestling, and, you know, some say with the relationship between New Japan and Ring of Honor, who knows what's going to go on, you know?
See, I like it based because I'm a wrestling fan. Japanese wrestlers do not draw casual fans in the United States. AEW already has the hardcore fans watching their show. There's not many left. Unfortunately, as much as we're going to love this New Japan thing and love the wrestling that comes out of it, it's not going to help them nearly as it's going to be like, it'll be almost as bad as Impact for them. And I'm going to say that people don't know who these guys are, and they might like the wrestling when it happens, but they might not stick around to see it. Shaq's going to draw more eyes than Kenta or anyone from New Japan will.
Well, I will say one thing. Kenta at least has some familiar moves, like, for instance, the Go to Sleep, which he had the Go to Sleep Nation shirt on or whatever last week on AEW. The Go to Sleep, which was borrowed by CM Punk as his finisher. CM Punk, by the way, I heard this past week as part of Stephen Amell's new wrestling show, Heels, I believe it's called. And so we're going to see CM Punk, quote-unquote, wrestling in the near future. Wouldn't surprise me if CM Punk shows up someplace as well. But, Dan, DC, thoughts on...
I was going to say, you know, real quick to counter what Danger said, you know, while it may not boost the ratings or bring more eyes, which is why, just like WWE, they still rely on these celebrity appearances. One of the biggest knocks I've had against WWE recently has just been how stale and boring the product is. Right now, with what AEW is doing, you don't know what's going to happen next. And not only that, just with all these working relationships they now have with all these different companies, ensures that you're not going to get a stale product anytime soon.
No. And just to point out that in the main event of AEW Dynamite this past week, you had an Impact wrestler, two Impact wrestlers. You had the AEW champion, and you also had New Japan double champ Kenta show up at the end. So, you know, it's like it's, you know, you're getting the best of three worlds, and it's like, and
Kenta's not a champion.
I'm sorry. Kenta's not a champion. But
Kenta is the number one contender to AEW superstar and New Japan Wrestling United States champion John Moxley.
Which they're going to be wrestling, and a lot of people are saying that maybe his appearance may have been a one off just to because they're going to let Mox wrestle him, Kenta. So. We will see how that goes. But you know what? We got to take a break. We'll be back for our last segment. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Furby, Danger Boy, and the Artiste, and you. And we have one last segment here. We want to get some news in before the end of the show. Some real quick news. John Cena came out this past week talking to Sports Illustrated, said he's not going to be able to be involved in WrestleMania this year because he's up making a TV show or a movie, or I don't know what it is he's making. It's a Peacemaker. It's an HBO Max show. So no John Cena at WrestleMania this year. But did we see him at last year's? Because last year was a two-day deal, and I'm trying to remember if he was there last year. I don't remember.
Oh, come on. You know what he was in last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, forget it. I forget that movie. He was in the movie. He was in that movie thing. So that coming out. The NFL announced that they're going to have 25,000 fans attending Super Bowl Sunday, this Sunday, tomorrow at Raymond James Stadium. WWE is probably going to put as many in the stands for WrestleMania. They're using the NFL's blueprint for what they're going to do. So, but it's interesting thing is the NFL is going to have 30,000 additional seats with cardboard cutouts. So it'll look crowded, I guess. I don't know. Maybe Geddy Lee will be one of them. I don't know. I see Geddy Lee all summer in Buffalo. Every time there's a Toronto Blue Jays game in Buffalo. WWE's fourth quarter highlights came out this past week, and operating income was $36.2 million, which is decrease of 64% from the year before. But then again, they could travel the year before. Then again, they cut a lot of – they still made a profit. They just because of COVID quarantines and everything was down. And I think that's how the whole world is going to be for a while. WWE NXT superstar Karrion Kross is on his way to either Raw or SmackDown. They're trying to get him up there fast. His injury a month and a half ago in NXT kind of waylaid his debut. But these guys want the guys who are running both both Raw and SmackDown want Karrion Kross up there. What do you guys think about Karrion Kross? I mean, obviously he looks like Steve Austin. I mean, he's got the same kind of body. You know, he's younger. I mean, I'm not saying Steve Austin in his prime and stuff, but he's definitely got the look, you know? And I mean, and then the girl's not too bad with him either. So anyone have any thoughts on Mr. Karrion Kross?
I mean, he's definitely got a character. I mean, he's definitely got the stature, the look, like you were saying, and you know, just the entrance on its own, it gives it a little bit of the wow factor for one of the big shows. So it'll be interesting to see when and where he'll show up.
Yeah, I like what they're doing. Like, I like what they're doing with him character-wise. I need him to, if they're going to have him do longer matches, they've got to be better matches. Or just have him kill people. One of the two. Don't have him. His match with Keith Lee wasn't that great. So I'm hoping that if they're going to bring him up, just have him kill people for a while.
Yeah, I remember saying back on the show a while ago when I first was exposed to Karrion Kross, when I saw him wrestle Tom Lawler, I thought it was Tom Lawler that was boring. But maybe it's Karrion Kross who works too slow. So it'll be interesting to see if he can bring a little bit more excitement in the ring.
Yeah, definitely. So anyone else? No? We can move on. This is an interesting piece.
Real quick, I never care that much for Cross, just saying that. I'm going to agree with that. Like, I think Scarlett's the bigger star of the two. I also like Tom Lawler a lot better than Cross, but not to say Tom Lawler's great, but Cross could use a little more seasoning. So I don't know. Like, is he really going to do that much on the main roster? I guess he's that type, but
we'll see.
If I don't care about him.
They can, what is it, catch fire in a bottle or whatever the saying was. So on to the next one. This is an interesting story. Former WWE superstar Tyler Rex has transitioned to a woman named Gabby Tuft. It was announced that Tuft will explain who did explain on Friday's episode of Extra TV. So interesting, you know. I mean, Tyler Rex, I remember, a very muscular dude, and he's still married, still full support of his wife Priscilla. So I think that's interesting. You know, it's now a safer world to come do things like this. And I thought that, you know, that definitely, I don't remember him much as a superstar, though, to be honest with you. I don't remember Tyler Rex much.
I didn't remember that Rex was there until 2012, because all I really remember is like some of the WWE CW stuff. But I guess the tenure there was a little longer than I remember.
Yeah, interesting. Kind of getting up against it, but some more news. Shamed former NBA referee Tim Donaghy made his debut in Major League Wrestling. And, of course, in his debut, if you saw it, he helped the dude cheat to win. This is a guy who in the NBA was fired and in jailed for helping to cheat or try to shave points in a basketball, more than one basketball game. So, you know, he's like I don't know. Unfortunately, he's kind of like, no one likes this dude. So it's a perfect place to go, pro wrestling. Do you remember the story? Anyone remember the story when this guy was, you know, Danger, you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. He was, you know, helping. He was working with people and bettors to shave points. He was doing everything that everyone worries happens in professional sports. It happened. He got caught. And he did jail time for it, and now he's a crooked referee in MLW. You know, good for him for finding some place to make a living after that, because I'm sure that that, you know, gambling money isn't paying off anymore. But
no, that's another thing too, is he made a lot of money gambling too because of what he was doing. Yeah, it's just real fishy. But it seems like the world of pro wrestling welcomed him open arms. So on to another piece of news. Ring of Honor re-signed a bunch of people this past week. Jay Lethal, the Bouncers, Beer City Bruiser, and Brian Malonis, and also Jonathan Gresham. So it looks like ROH is trying to solidify some of their guys, because they seemed, you know, Ring of Honor for the longest time was like the minors for WWE and Impact Wrestling. I mean, a lot of guys would graduate to those. There's so many guys in the main events of W. And one thing, you know, we didn't mention at all during the Royal Rumble, but Seth Rollins made an appearance there. It wasn't very long. It was, you know, about 8 or 9 minutes during the match. But Seth Rollins being a former Ring of Honor champion, you know, a lot of the guys in that match were part of Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor really was instrumental in creating a lot of guys' careers. And it's like, and now they're just, maybe it's wise that they're signing these guys and, you know, keeping them, especially, guys like Jay Lethal, who Jay Lethal really, you know, he made a name in Ring of Honor, went to Impact, and then went back to Ring of Honor. So good for Ring of Honor, keeping guys, you know. Dalton Castle, I don't know, man. When he's free, I think someone will sign him immediately, but I guess we'll find out when. One last thing as we're running out of time.
The part about that is, yeah, you know, like Dalton's had some injury issues, so Dalton a few years ago might have been a little bit more of a prospect than him now, but I sure hope that he ends up somewhere else before all is said and done.
Yeah, he broke his back. He was a champion with a broken back. You know, I mean, and yeah. So he told us that when he was in the studio.
That's something you don't necessarily get back to 100% from. So wishing him all the best. I mean, He's somebody that would be a great commentator for decades also when he's done in the ring, too. So I
love the first time we had him on the show. He goes, you know, I used to listen to you when I was in, like, seventh grade. It's like, oh, thank you. It was something like that he said to us, but I thought it was pretty funny. But so what? One last thing. There's lots of, you know, there's lots of news. We can't get to everything. But if you watch AEW Dynamite this past week, Kip Sabian married Penelope Ford. And I guess that was legit. You know, that wasn't legit. They got married in that ring, but they got married. So I was waiting for someone to ruin it because someone always ruins it. But nobody ruined it. They let them actually get to the point where they kissed. And then all hell broke loose, you know. But it was like, and James Mitchell was there, the, you know, the Sinister Minister. I mean, right from you know, you can watch him on Impact on most Tuesday nights, and he was there. But you guys enjoy
and
the
you
wedding?
Could have him marry. He marries people all the time. So I mean, that was legit, like in the ring itself.
Oh,
so,
really? Okay.
Yeah, if you want James Mitchell to marry you, hit him up on Facebook.
Very cool.
He's got some interesting wording there with all the kayfabe mentions and stuff during the wedding ceremony. It was interesting.
It was kind of fun, though. But Penelope Ford's gorgeous. So it's like, yeah, you can definitely use more of her. But I want to thank you guys. Another week is in the books. You know, it was crazy. We're building our way up towards WrestleMania. You know, the first cog in the wheel, of course, was, you know, the Royal Rumble. We've got the Elimination Chamber coming up. And we've got good couple of nights of AEW coming up, as well as another AEW pay-per-view. We get to see Shaq wrestle. You know, can't beat that. But we got to get out
Cash,
of here. Yeah.
Can I drop a fun fact real quick?
Yes.
Snitsky and Lita's baby would have been 14 years old this week had Snitsky not punted it.
Oh, my. And on that note, on that note, we're going to say goodbye. We'll see you next week, folks. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.